tonight before the hurricane, you could join Collective Soul. They'll be at the Capitol Theater with this gentleman right here. This is Ed Roland. How are you doing, buddy?
Good morning.
Come on in. Look, everybody, I love it, though. Everybody's got their own film crew with them now. That's so you got to do your own thing now.
You have to.
Your glasses are fantastic.
Thank you. They're very necessary also.
You can,
not just fashionable.
You could pull those off. If I were to wear those, people would. You look like a minion. They're like perfectly round.
Two-eyed minion.
Yeah.
Wearing black. Dark side of minions.
How are you doing, my man?
Waking up, brother. Doing good, though.
Happy for Collective Soul that you guys are still making music and still going out on tour. We were all fans of the band, listen to the music. Yeah, but you know what? Don't you think that you were caught up in the worst time for music? It was that crossover between hair bands are going away, Pearl Jam was grunging it up, and then we decided to let ladies make music too. Cheryl Crows and Joan Osborne. So everything kind of got all squished together. Like Top 40 didn't even know what they were playing.
You know what? We never thought about it.
Yeah.
Because we just played music, and that's one of those things where people used to go, "You're grunge." I'm like, no, we're not grunge. We're a rock and roll band. If you want to put something before and after that, knock yourself out. But as far as we're concerned, we're just a rock and roll band.
And you started out in Georgia, right?
Correct. Still there.
And how do you guys meet? Who is, were you all friends, or did you, who started the band?
My brother's in the band. I started it. So all these cats are 10 years younger than me. And, at the very end, I had a band going in Atlanta, and all those guys, they quit. You know, I always say it was fourth down, you either punt or go for it, and they punted, and I kept going. I didn't know what else to do.
Oh, they quit. Do you ever call them up and go, Are you still friends with them?
They call me and just go, hey, man, what's up?
Yeah.
Nobody's quit, there's no room.
Sucker, go back.
So I literally called my brother, and I said, dude, you got any buddies that want to play in a band? And he's like, yeah. I said, nothing serious. I just want to go out. And I made a batch of demos in a basement, and in that was Shine. And that song just took off on its own before we even had a band. So got them together, and the rest is history. We all grew up in the same town also.
Like, so you all kind of, you're all familiar with each other.
Very much. And I think that's helped sustain the band to a degree, just because you knew, you know.
It's hard not to hate each other. Now, how do you and your brother not hate?
I hate him.
I mean, look at the Black Crowes. Black Crowes, I mean, that relationship with those brothers ruined the great band because they just hate each other.
Oasis.
I think the age difference between Dean and I helped a lot. Once again, being 10 years apart, I think he always kind of gave me the leeway, and it is my band.
Yeah, you're right.
I'll tell you that, but he kind of gave me the leeway just to be the leader, and it took time for everybody to get that. And I'll ask their opinions, and, you know, if everybody strongly disagrees,
then you know you might have something
to fight about. But very rarely happens. You know, we grow up with each other. We know, I always said, we know when to, you know, give each other a hug, and we know when to smack somebody in the face.
Right.
It kind of helps.
I met you guys, I want to say it had to be 1998 or 99. Mm-hmm. And I remember what I was wearing that day. I was in jean shorts a t-shirt. Yeah. And the entire band, I remember thinking that we were probably the same age, but you all look like a bunch of kids. And I thought, look at these guys. And you were so, we were talking about when we have strippers on the show and all this stuff. And the guys in the band were like, y'all really get naked girls in there? And I thought, you guys are rock stars. You're supposed to have naked girls everywhere.
We've stayed so busy. We missed that point in the career. Because when we took off,
you were in the bad part of music. You were in Joan Osborne's part of time of music. Everybody's like, you decided to respect women instead of objectifying them.
We first went out, my brother and I and Will got married within the first year, and I remember we looked at each other. First thing we said when we went on tour, I said, all right, everybody, have fun. Don't catch feelings. Within a year, three of us are married.
No.
Oh, man.
Where do you meet your wife? On the road?
Yes.
Oh. You know, and nobody in the band, nobody reminded you of your rule? You should have taped it up on the tour bus wall. No fall in love.
Yeah, I know. No catching feelings.
Don't you think, though, that when you're a rock star, like, you are going to fall in love. You're going to meet a girl, and she's going to be gorgeous, but then when you go to Mississippi, there's going to be another one there.
There were. But I think, once again, things were going so crazy. We wanted some kind of stability. And I think if you sit in the shrink's couch, we'd look at each other and go, we just wanted something normal at that point, because, you know, we didn't have a home. Nobody had a place. You know, we were just on the road for 2 years straight.
Yeah.
It was just different.
How about money? Do you get all the money? Do you write all the songs?
I write all the songs. So you get all that money.
You get all the publishing money.
And you guys do your own albums and stuff.
Correct. We do now. And but early on, no, we did not get the money. We had a bad
record company deal.
No, it wasn't the record company. It was management. The first two records we saw nothing of. And those, you know, were pretty.
Pretty good record. So what? Give me an idea what breaks down there. Like, yeah, like if I'm, I hear that Collective Soul say sold 10 million records, I assume that you have $10 million. I don't know why. That's just.
No. Well, for us, we had sold six and we came home and we had to, we went through a lawsuit and the judge gave us $150 a week to live off of.
Why? What? Who had just, the right, just, somebody had the rights to your stuff?
That was the whole lawsuit, yeah, the management, and it was signed under a production deal, so.
Oh, man.
It was settled, everything's cool, you know, I retained my publishing, which was great. You know, but the first two records were kind of a, they weren't even a wash. I mean, you know, the lawsuit cost us about $1 million to get out of.
Jesus.
And. But we renegotiated with Atlantic, but most of that went just to continue on recording. So, you know how it breaks down? I mean, if the label gets 66 cents for every 99 cents on iTunes, that's the easiest way to describe it. So after that, whatever the artist signs to the label, you know.
Is what you get. Is what you get. But then you have to pay on top of that. Like, everybody thinks you get all these tour buses and all these things, but you have to pay for all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny to me, and I said it last night. There's this young band that's opening for us, Kick the Robot. Great young band. And I look at it, and I'm like, man, what a weird time to be in music because, you know, the public has no problem going paying $5 for coffee that they'll piss out in 2 hours, but yet they won't pay 99 cents for a song that can stay with them emotionally for the rest of their life.
Now, I agree with that, okay? I happen to agree with that, but I just feel like the process now is the only place I have a CD player is my car.
Right.
And at that point, my car can also play music off my phone. But I have Spotify, but I pay for the Spotify.
Once again, and this is something that I'm about to go, I went to DC last year and I'm about to go back. What happened with Spotify, once again, the labels came in, Spotify gave them millions. There's a non-disclosure.
So
I'm trying to figure out how much they got. They got millions, tens of millions.
Of course.
So then they set the price to Spotify and say, well, let's just charge the artists only get this. Now, out of that small amount, people keep talking about songwriters and the artists, but there's producers.
Sure.
And everybody's just getting, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
And once again, I think Spotify is great. Actually, I sat down with, there were four major labels about 6 years ago, and I told them, y'all need to start something as a cable company. I said, y'all could charge, you know, $10 a month, and in 20 years, you can do like HBO. It would be 40, yeah. $50 a month
right.
because you get the public used to it, and they accept it.
Ed Roland invented Spotify.
Okay. No, I did not. I'm not that. Just the concept and the idea was there for these four majors to come together and do something like that. And once again, you know, somebody steps ahead, and so they're trying to play catch up. And to me, it's just, and the way I would resolve it is just like you do at the movies. To me, Spotify's great.
What would you do if, as an artist now?
I would make it to the artist's choice, either 3 or 6 months. The record comes out, the release, whatever the recording, and then for 3 to 6 months, you cannot get it on Spotify, just like you do with the movies. You get it, and you get the major. So the true fans.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Want to buy it and purchase it.
That's a great idea.
And so after that, it's no different than the movies, and then it gets shown on HBO or it gets shown on Showtime, whatever.
Right.
You know, but there has to be something because right now it's so unfair. It's criminal.
And even that,
I'm going to go fight for it.
That's still going to hurt you though, because the peer to peer sharing.
Spotify is great because it's going out to so many people that you can't reach, that labels can't reach.
Right.
We as band can't go tour everywhere.
Yeah.
Spotify is a great thing, but once again, it somehow has to be more fair to the artist.
Yeah, you really got duped when Napster came out and Grokster and all those things. They said to you, "Look, we're going to steal it either way, so you might as well give." And that's when the industry fell apart.
Funny story about that. I went and met with the president of Atlantic Records when Napster and Metallica were fighting. I flew just to have a meeting with him about that.
Right.
His exact words were, "That's going to go away."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what everybody. That's burying your head in the sand and hoping it just goes away.
Way to go!
He meant the record industry. Ed Roland from Collective Soul is here. Yeah, I remember some of those Atlantic guys. Atlantic Do you remember Danny Bush?
I love Danny Bush.
Danny Bush looks like if Bob Dylan was taller and on more drugs. He was the best.
The speedy kind of drugs.
Danny was, Danny made you want to do cocaine.
I see Danny all the time. For some reason, we still run into each other. He's great.
He has a distinct way of, he was back in the great days for music was also great days for radio because people used to give us gifts to play songs too, which was highly illegal. But we'd be going, I remember Danny Bush.
Why was that illegal?
It was payola.
Payola, yeah. It's a matter of whether.
I take my crew out and.
Yeah. It's just like that.
I never understood that.
I never understood either. Keep giving me boxes of cash. I'll take it all day long.
Hold on, let me see what you need.
We went to I was a kid, man. I don't even think I was on salary yet. And we went to a record convention somewhere in, I think it was New York. And I had to sleep on a cot and third guy in a room, you know. And Danny Bush said, hey, I'm not staying in my room. You could take it. And I was like, oh, awesome, cool. Because they threw a party in there one night, and then he went home. And I went up there, and I had like a three-bedroom suite.
It had
food in there. And I was like, this is the best thing ever.
Nice.
Those are the days. What country loves Collective Soul the most besides this one?
Peru?
Does that blow your mind?
It does.
You get there and you're like, how do you people even know about us? We're from Atlanta.
We're from Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah, Georgia, yeah.
Because you follow on the social media, Peru and South Africa are the two biggest markets.
Do you have any idea why? Do you know what it is about the South Africa that made them Collective Soul fans?
Honestly, no, I don't.
That's crazy to me.
No. For us, too. And it's fun. You know, you go down there and they still got that old school vibe of rock and roll and music. You know, they're excited about it. They get into it. We love it.
You're not married now, are you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Not the same chick from...
No, not the same.
No, how many times have you been married?
This is my second.
That's not so bad.
No.
You
coming
have kids?
Up on 10 years, yeah. Have one from the previous, one from the 90s life, and one from the previous.
How old is your oldest one?
17.
What does he do? What does he want to do?
As little as possible. Yeah. 17 years old.
Does he know that his dad's a rock star? Does he get it?
He doesn't care.
No.
We've never presented ourselves. Everybody in the band, Will, has three boys. And, you know, they're just like boys. They're heirs to their dads.
That's crazy. I look at my son every time he gets on my nerves. I go, you know, I'm famous.
How old's your boy?
He's 9. Yeah. But I need to let it sink in now. So as
that's a good age. I don't
my
think
fame
get
dwindles.
It. Wait till the teenage years.
He only gets it now because now he gets like good tickets to go see hockey games and stuff. So he gets it.
Yeah.
And like would this bother you or is this cool? Do you get to introduce your son to bands that he likes?
I do all the time.
Yeah. So
yeah, he got the, you know, we're in actually did this kind of group with like Slash, Duff, Gene Simmons, they called it the Kings of Chaos, so
right.
I invited to that. How, I don't know, but I'm glad. So, you know.
Did you sing with him?
Yeah.
No kidding.
So, you know, you're in Africa and Slash calls, and I took my son Lindsay with me, and he's like, hey, dude, you want to come to the room? I got baby lions up here. We can feed them.
Baby lions?
First, your Slash. Second, baby lions. Let's do it. So, yeah, he's all...
Now
yeah,
he knows you're cool. Yeah.
He loves that part of it. He doesn't care about me or
does he like
stuff.
Collective Soul? Does he ever listen to... You ever hear Catch Him listen
you know,
to
not
it?
Not like I go home and listen to that. You know,
but so I wonder if he...
I don't know if he does around, you know, at his mom's house, but yeah, it's not like I come home and go... Woo, can't wait to hear that Shine one more time.
I just wonder. I wonder that, like, my son now, every once in a while...
Does he listen to you?
Only because now, like, my wife drives him to school. I used to take him all the time when I did afternoons. Now that we do mornings, he'll call me before he gets to school and goes, hey, I was just listening to this, or he'll say something. And
that's
kind of cool, but I know he doesn't care about it.
Yeah, because I FaceTimed Lindsay yesterday and was like, you know, we're playing in Atlanta Saturday. And I was like, hey, dude, you want to come to the show? I don't care.
Catching the cradle. It's,
you know,
coming back here.
He's got a girlfriend now.
That's the whole point. I got a girlfriend. Although, I got to tell you, I learned from the Nelson kids, don't bring your girlfriends around your dad when he's good looking. Matthew, I think, said he brought a girl home. She was like a 12. And he said he walked downstairs and she was like shaking and almost in tears. And he said, what's wrong? And she goes, I just saw the most beautiful man I ever saw in my life. And it was his father. And I thought, yeah, you don't need that accent.
Nah.
No.
Doesn't work on
And how old's your, how old's the kid from this?
Six.
Oh, okay. So
Lennon.
Lennon.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
You see where your roots are at, buddy.
That's right.
Is that your all-time favorite, the Beatles?
Yes, without a doubt. As far as the band, yes.
Yeah. And what do you hope? How long do you think you will do this with Collective Soul? Do you see an end date?
No. We talk about it all the time. We look at each other and go, you know, when you start a tour and you get exhausted in the middle, you're like, this is it. And
yeah.
You get home and about a week later, everybody's bored and you're like, you know, let's keep going.
I would always imagine as long as people keep showing up, you keep doing it.
You know that, and as long as you enjoy it, and we still do. Once again, I mean, these cats I've known forever. So,
what's your favorite non-Collective Soul song to do?
Non-Collective Soul song to do? Well, we used to do Crazy Train. That was fun.
Nice. I was waiting for you to say it was like an old Beatles or Dylan song.
Well, we do corporate gigs. We'll throw in Happy Birthday to You, whatever the Beatles.
Yeah.
Trying to work in a Bad Company song on this tour. We just go back and forth.
I'm just letting you know because there's a finely tuned acoustic guitar next to you in case you felt like singing something while you were here.
you hear that morning, boys?
I would imagine that's the sexiest. Give him that guitar there, Rob. I didn't even know there was a girl in here. I feel like I had to watch my mouth. This is Ed Roland from Collective Soul. You know, this is not a star-studded performance. You don't have to worry about it.
Give you a little bit.
Yeah,
sure. Cool.
Why drink the water from my hand? Take just as you think I am. Don't tip your son towards my domain. Your cup runneth over again. Don't scream about, don't think aloud. Turn your head now, baby, just spit me out. Don't worry about, don't speak a doubt. Turn your head now, baby, just spit me out. Baby, just spit me out. Baby, just spit me out.
I think I might like it better like that.
Yeah. Good morning blues vocal for you.
That's good. You could do like Clapton and retool your songs in the next 10 years if you ever run out of ideas.
I think we're going to keep just playing new stuff, man. You got to make a suggestion. This pick?
John's pick? John is a guitar player in our band, and I sometimes pick that up. I'm like, this looks like a chewed fingernail.
How do you even get any kind of traction action?
Hilarious. Listen, that was nice. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate it.
No worries.
The other thing you got going for you, you still got good hair, buddy.
Oh, yeah. No, I just cut it. Speaking of, my ex-wife came over. I thought she might have messed me up a little bit.
No, why? She cut your hair?
Next size, yeah.
Oh,
well, we're like the most functional, dysfunctional family.
I wouldn't put my ex with knife anywhere near my head at all. No, that's the thing, man. You can't really live there. You got to kind of look towards the end of a rock star lifestyle if you lose the hair. Or if you get fat or one of those things, but you're doing all right. Listen, it's a pleasure to have you in there today. Collective Soul has got a new album out. Now, what is the name? I have the new album. What is the name of the new album?
See What You Started By Continuing.
Yeah, that's it. See What You Started By Continuing.
Wait, it's out Friday.
Friday, yeah.
We played a song off of it before. I'm going to play. What's the AYTA? Ada?
Are You the Answer, yeah.
Are You the Answer? See, I don't pay attention to nothing. It's Contagious. It's like, what's the heaviest song?
Contagious? Yeah.
I'm going to play that one. Is that cool?
Play it.
All right, good. I like that.
Got a good song.
I'll play this going to break. This is not it. Stand by. I'm playing two Collective Soul things at once. Hold on. I'm mixing.
That's the same one we just did.
Oh, this is good. This is, Capitol Theater, Collective Soul. It's Mike Calda Show.
Together here we stand, covered in our rust. It's just a life of pretend, and that's the source of us. Oh, girl, here we are now. Oh, girl, fly between the days. Oh,
Weintraub here for the Golden Diamond Source. If you're thinking about getting engaged, Golden Diamond Source is your one-stop destination.
Shop, compare, and save at the Golden Diamond Source.
3800 Ulmerton Road.
Or online at goldendiamondsource.com.